It's time once again for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and issues relating to life for blind and partially sighted people. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me again this week.
Hello, Toby. My pleasure as ever. Nice to speak to you.
I think we're going to start with some news hot off the press about the election bill.
Yes, that's right. It's a subject, you know, I've talked on this show, you know, this channel about a lot to you, Toby and Alan, over many months, actually. So we've been campaigning hard, really, over the last year about this, and things are coming to a head as the electoral bill goes through the Houses of Parliament, currently back in the Lords, having been through the Commons. And we've been lobbying hard with all parliamentarians, but I think we've been particularly effective in the House of Lords to get our point across. And there's two, you know, fundamentals that we are trying to hold the line on here, which is that blind and partially sighted people get the right to vote independently and get the right to vote in secret. And we were very concerned that the government was looking to dilute that requirement or that protection down in the bill. And the electoral bill has got a number of other dimensions to it around voter ID and, you know, how mayoral elections are run. So, you know, I'm conscious our concern is only for part of the bill, but it's clearly very important to us. So we've been lobbying hard. So the good news is last night, and this was happening in real time about sort of 10 o'clock, 10:30, with us exchanging texts and our RNIB campaigns feed on Twitter, giving a real time update, was that sort of ably sort of piloted by Lord Holmes, Christopher Holmes and David Blunkett, Lord Blunkett, along with a cross party group of Lords, all of whom would engage with our points of view on this bill and represented our view, was the government accepted our view about independence and secrecy, both words of which are now in the bill when it goes back to the Commons. And clearly the government sort of accepting that, you know, means that that's a broad government acceptance, which should then pass through, you know, the Commons when it goes back there for sort of final debate and sign off at a later date. So, you know, we're really, really pleased about this. I think, you know, we still need to be very vigilant because, as ever, people can interpret words differently, and there's still a role that the government is wanting the Electoral Commission to play to make sure that sort of returning officers and electoral officials, you know, are more responsible for making sure these provisions actually exist, you know, at elections. And so there's a little bit of buck passing going on there, and we need to make sure that as that element of this is defined, that we don't end up finding things sort of being watered down or slightly missed, you know, through that sort of work. So we're really pleased yesterday that, you know, Lord Holmes and Lord Blunkett piloting, you know, our perspective back in this bill, that all the work we've done and the weight of effort, the weight of campaigning has got the government to sort of fundamentally accept those two principles of independence and secrecy. So, yeah, it was a good evening last night.
And I think we should continue a little bit more on politics, because last week also saw the launch of the RNIB Northern Ireland See Me, See Differently manifesto to bring about real change for blind and partially sighted people in Northern Ireland in the lead up to the local assembly elections in May.
Yes, I mean, there's, you know, local elections across the UK in May, you know, which have been referenced from all sorts of starting points as, you know, a time for the electorate to respond to what they think on things like Partygate and cost of living and rising utility bills. So there'll be plenty of scope across the UK for people to vote and express a view in a number of different ways. Clearly, that includes, as you said, Northern Ireland. And so we have a very vibrant teams in all of the devolved nations. So the Irish team last week launched their manifesto, yeah, clearly very alert to wanting to sort of take some of the, you know, sort of strength from the UK into that manifesto, but also very alert to some of the local issues in Northern Ireland. We've particularly got very strong relations, for example, with the health service and how that is commissioned, and various senior members of the Northern Ireland sort of health service community are sort of good friends of the RNIB, came to join us at the summit that we held pre-Christmas, and were around sort of last week as well in helping launch this. And I think the sort of icing on the cake was our chair, Anna Tyler, went over to Belfast and was involved in the launch, you know, adding sort of weight and focus to the launch last week. So, I mean, I think, you know, whilst, as I say, we're very relevant in Northern Ireland in terms of, you know, really addressing some of the issues. And there was sort of particular challenges, as I mentioned, around sort of health service and the eye health pathway in Northern Ireland, which we're very involved in. You know, there are also, you know, a reminder of strong generic RNIB policy matters in there as well, which I think makes for a very rich sort of manifesto that the team published last week.
We must end again this week, Matt, with an update on how the RNIB and other sight loss organisations are continuing to support blind and partially sighted people who are caught up in the war in Ukraine. And I don't think anyone will have missed the harrowing stories from Ukraine that have been in the news this week. What's the sort of update at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we continue to do as much as we can. And I'll just elaborate on that, you know, working with our VI sector partners. So, you know, we've come together working with Guide Dogs, Thomas Pocklington Trust, Blind Vets, the Macular Society, Glaucoma, Retina and the Visionary Group, which is our sort of VI sector group, which we've been working with well on a number of things for the last 18 months. So, you know, we've been working with that group to see what we can do. In the last week or so, we've been able to identify some organisations inside Ukraine who support blind and partially sighted people. Clearly, every country is different in terms of how it's set up. So I think there's a lot of sort of institutions inside Ukraine providing accommodation, schooling, you know, locally for blind and partially sighted people. So, you know, a different maybe sort of landscape to the UK. So we're finding our feet a little bit, but we're, you know, we're making contact with organisations inside the Ukraine. And, you know, what we're planning to do at the moment, and we're just sort of in the foothills of working how we do this, is to sort of try and get some equipment, some basic equipment into the country, you know, for use by people who are clearly having an incredibly tough time. And I had a meeting yesterday with a group of people who represent one of these societies based in Kyiv, but with contacts in Kharkiv and Odessa. And even in half an hour, you know, you get a very strong sense of just really quite how awful and challenging life is in Ukraine at the moment. So I think it's beholden to us to do the right sort of thing and see what we can do in our space to get equipment and support into the country. It sounds easy to say, it's quite difficult to do, I think. It's not that easy to ship anything into the Ukraine at the moment. So we're just sort of working out how to do this. Just as a reminder, you know, we are working in our group with the European Blind Union, who've been an umbrella group who have a good understanding of sort of local societies in Eastern Europe. And, you know, we've been working with them, and we've sent some materials already to the Romanian and Polish societies for use with refugees sort of coming over the border. So, you know, it's a rapidly evolving situation. I think as weeks go by, we'll get a bit more certain, you know, how we can have impact. I think the other thing to say, Toby, is I know we've been talking about this inside the organisation and inside the VI sector group. You know, clearly Ukraine is an incredibly harrowing situation at the moment. You know, there are other sources of conflict and problems in the world. You know, we supported some Afghani refugees coming into the country last year. And clearly there are other hotspots in the world where it might be that we can play a part, albeit, you know, we're a UK national charity. We're not an international aid charity, but where we could sort of do something to help. So I think that Ukraine has concentrated the mind because it is so visible to us all. But I think it's making us think about the principles of how we might support other, you know, hotspots around the world where blind and partially sighted people are affected. So, you know, it's very sort of embryonic thinking on that at the moment, but it's certainly something that I think we need to work on and get a position on, you know, over the next sort of few weeks and months.
Well, if you have any questions at all relating to sight loss, you can visit the RNIB website, that's rnib.org.uk, where you'll find a wealth of information and advice. You can also call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can even use your Amazon device and ask dear old Lady A to call the RNIB too. Well, thank you very much indeed, Matt, for chatting with me again this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
My pleasure, Toby. Thank you for having me as ever.